last week we began to discuss the halachas of tzitzis, and we're focusing on what type of a beged is obligated in tzitzis. We pointed out there's machlokes at Tanoim and Amoraim in the Gemara about what material beged has to be in order to be chayav in tzitzis min haTorah. According to one opinion, only a beged of wool or linen is considered to be chayav min haTorah. All other materials are only midrabbanan. The other opinion said no, that all materials are chayav min haTorah. We said that even though Mikra didn't we pass in like the second view, that all materials are chayav min haTorah, cotton, silk, etc. Since there are, some Rishonim would disagree, the Rif, primarily the Rif and the Rambam, therefore there are some poskim who recommend that a person should try to wear wool. If you have a choice between wearing a wool beged or a cotton beged, so many poskim prefer to wear wool and want it to be yotzei mitzvah d'oraisa according to everybody. And Mikra didn't, we don't follow that, but there are those who are machmir for that. So lechora, we can come up with a way to solve this dilemma. Why do most people not like to wear wool? Because it's hot, it's uncomfortable. Well, it's not really so hot, but some people get nervous in the summertime. They don't want to wear wool. So why don't we come up with a better idea? Why don't we all wear linen begodim? That would be great. First of all, it's very, very comfortable. The linen is very light. And according to everybody, linen would be chayav min haTorah. So how come we've never seen anybody wear linen begodim of tzitzis? So the answer to this is that the Gemara tells us that Chazal did away with linen begodim. Chazal said, dafka not to wear linen begodim for tzitzis. And the question is, why not? What's wrong with linen? If linen is for sure chayav min haTorah, and it's very comfortable, very lightweight, so that would be the greatest solution in the world. So why shouldn't everybody buy a four-cornered linen beged and wear that for the mitzvah of tzitzis? That would be the greatest solution. So the Gemara tells us that there was a special takonas hacham that was made, nafka not to wear a linen beged, not to put tzitzis on a linen beged. Why? What was the problem? So there's a whole discussion with Masechta Shabbos, what exactly prompted this takana. And finally, the maskanas of Gemara is that Chazal were afraid that if a person is going to wear a linen beged, even though min haTorah, if you're wearing a linen beged, you are permitted and required to put tzitzis on, and you're required to put tchelas on. Tchelas always has to be made out of wool. The word tchelas is not only a color of blue, but it means a wool string of blue. So Chazal were concerned that if a person is going to put on a four-cornered linen beged and they're going to put on tchelas, that's fine, that's okay, assuming that the tchelas is kosher. But what if the tchelas happens to be puzzle? What if they were duped and they have this imitation of the tchelas, what the Gemara calls kala ilon? It was in order for the tchelas to be kosher, it has to be made dafka out of a chilazon, dafka out of that creature that the special halacha Moshe Mishnah says qualifies as tchelas. Any other tchelas, even if it looks the same, smells the same, tastes the same, it's not considered to be tchelas at all in the Torah. So in the days of Chazal, it was rampant. They had this imitation tchelas out there called kala ilon. The reason it was rampant because it was cheaper to produce. So the Gemara says that we're afraid that a person may be wearing a four-cornered beged and wearing this imitation, this fake tcheles, and then it'll turn out that he's wearing shatnez for no reason. To wear shatnez, to wear a four-cornered linen beged with kosher tcheles, that's perfectly okay, min haTorah. But if it's puzzle tcheles, then your mamash accomplishing nothing, and all you're doing is wearing shatnez, shalom b'makom mitzvah. So therefore, mid the Rabbanan, they were concerned with this, and they said, it's better not to put the tcheles on altogether. Wear a four-cornered beged, and don't put tcheles on altogether, lest you risk something's going to go wrong. So there's a machlekes that we shown him, how far did Chazal go when they said, don't put tcheles on a four-cornered beged? So come some of the Rishonim and say, he said, don't put tcheles on, because that's going to lead for a mistake. But they never said not to put tzitzis on. They never said not to put the white strings on. We pass in the halacha that tcheles is not ma'akev. So therefore, it would make a lot of sense if you're wearing a four-cornered linen beged, put the white strings on. I understand the fear, I understand the chashash, not to put tcheles on unless you put on the imitation tcheles. But what do you have to lose by putting the white strings on? So don't put white wool strings on. Put white linen strings on. We'll talk about it a little bit later on, what kind of strings are acceptable. So it's possible to accomplish everything. Namely, you'll have a four-cornered linen beged, you put on white strings, you won't put on tcheles, nothing's going to go wrong, inshallah ma'israel. So Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, no. Tosfos quotes from the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that it seems from the Gemara that if you have a four-cornered linen beged, they didn't want you to put anything on, even white strings. Why? Because they were afraid. Chazal were concerned. If you're going to put on white strings, next thing you know is you're going to put on blue strings. Next thing you know, you're going to make the wrong tcheles. So it's going to lead, one thing's going to lead to another, and therefore it's going to lead to a violation of shat neshalo b'mokom mitzvah. So therefore, Chazal nipped the problem in the bud, and they said, don't put tzitzis on a linen beged. Finish. End of discussion. So that's the way we assume halacha, that when you have a four-cornered beged, a linen beged, you don't put on anything. You don't put on blue, don't put on white, don't put on anything. So obviously that's not going to be a good solution to the problem. So The Rosh writes that this was the way he always thought. He just read the Gemara, read the Taisas. He always assumed that four corners linen begotten have been off limits for thousands of years since this Tachanes HaChamim was instituted. And then the Rosh writes, all of a sudden he arrived in the end of his life in Spain. How did the Rosh end up in Spain? Because he lived in Germany, he was an Ashkenazi. His Rebbe was the Maharam Rutenberg. The Maharam Rutenberg was thrown into jail because the government was trying to get the Jewish community to pay his exorbitant amount of taxes. That's what they used to do in the Middle Ages. Whenever the king wanted to run a war, so they would come in and try to squeeze more money out of the Jewish community. So the Maharam Rutenberg was trying to fight this exorbitant taxes that were being imposed on the Jewish community, so they threw him into jail. So he ended up the end of his life in jail. And then even though he had people who were willing to ransom out of jail, so the famous Pesach of the Maharam Rutenberg basically gave him a gift, and that he felt that that would be not a good idea. If they're going to try to redeem him out of jail, the king is Nachmo going to get his exorbitant amount of money, and that'll just be a precedent for next time. Next time the king wants money, they'll arrest the next great rabbi. So therefore, Maharam Rutenberg said, it's better that I should remain in jail and make a macha, that we're not going to pay these absurd amount of money. So Maharam Rutenberg spent the last years of his life in jail. Even after he died, so it took many years until they actually redeemed his body, finally some gavir came up with money, and the king let him go. But it's interesting because if you look just in the Rishonim, and they quote the story, it's in the Maharam Rutenberg. So apparently, I don't know what the politics of the 1300s was, but even though he was in jail, but the conditions weren't so terrible, they let his Tabidim come to visit him, and they let him actually bring his Svarim into jail. He was writing tshuvas, so we have a whole bunch of tshuvas that are written from by the Maharam Rutenberg, written from this. It was in a tower somewhere, the Migdal. They quoted in the tshuvas of the Maharam Rutenberg that this tshuva was written when he was in jail, and this tshuva was written in jail, and this Talmud came to speak in jail. So it wasn't like a dungeon in the Middle Ages, but Staffa Bichem. He was still put away. Anyway, so the Rosh realized that the government was next after him, because after the Maharam was put away, so the Rosh was next in line. So he realized that his days were numbered in Germany, so he ran away. So he ran away to Spain. So when he arrived in Spain, he needed a job. So the Rashba was the Rav in Barcelona. That was the big Jewish community at the time. So the Rashba found the Rosh a job first. Placement office. So they put the Rosh in Toledo. Toledo was a smaller Jewish community, so the Rosh, when the Rosh became friends, they worked on the Vada Rabbana of Spain together, so now the Maisa, two of them were sitting in Spain. So the Rosh writes that when he arrived in Spain, so he saw a whole bunch of different minhagim that he wasn't familiar with. He grew up as Ashkenazi, he grew up with a certain mindset, and all of a sudden he comes to Spain, he sees there are a few changes here and there. So one of the things that he notices, he writes in his Svarim, that he saw, he was very shocked to see, is that people in Spain were wearing four-cornered linen begun. It was nice and hot in Spain, so I guess when Mokhofl in Germany was cold, they were wearing wool. So he comes to Spain, and he's wearing these four-corner linen begotten. He said that it was against the Gemara. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that. The Gemara says, Sadim at Tzitzis, you're not allowed to put Tzitzis on four-corner linen begotten. So he didn't understand what was going on. So then he thought, and he said, I realized the reason must be as follows. Is that the Gemara says that the whole reason is a gezeira that you're going to mess up with tcheles, you're going to put on pasul tcheles, and the stomach of the Rabbanim in Spain must have held that gezeira only applies at a time when you have tcheles. But if there's no tcheles around, what are you going to mess up with? So says the Rosh, we don't have tcheles anymore. No less tcheles in Spain anymore. No less tcheles in Germany. We haven't had Spain for hundreds of years. So says the Rosh, since there's no fear of messing up, so Mustama, they understood that this gezeira was only b'chi agad, as a real fear. Nobody else accepted that for Russians. We in Ashkenaz never had that practice, because we probably assumed the gezeira was a low plug, it was across the board. Even though you personally don't have tcheles, the gezeira still exists. So therefore the Rosh was malamit tzchus, and that minig in the Sephardic communities in Spain, where they used to actually wear four-cornered linen begotten. We generally don't follow that, and in the rest of Europe that didn't become the minig. Therefore in the Ashkenazi communities we generally don't do that. Obviously b'zman hazeh, now the possibility of tcheles actually has resurfaced, so then for sure the gezeira would come back. Yeah. Except according to those who hold that tcheles is no good. But those who hold that we have authentic tcheles today, so then they would be forget. Those who hold that you don't have authentic tcheles would be more concerned. Then they would say that if we're going to let people wear four-cornered linen begotten today, they may be wearing not authentic tcheles. So whatever you hold about the modern-day tcheles, the bottom line is that we don't wear four-cornered linen begotten. That's what all the dust settles. Nobody wears four-cornered linen begotten today, notwithstanding what was going on in Spain 800 years ago. The Gemara raises the question, did in Seches Yevamos, exactly how does this work in terms of the mechanics of this Takanas Lachamim. In that Torah, if a person wears a four-corner linen beged, he has to wear tzitzis on. He's got to put tzitzis, chelos, whatever, he's got to fulfill the mitzvah properly. And Chazal said, no, it's okay, you don't have to put on tzitzis. So if Chazal would have said, don't wear the beged, I would have understood that. He would have said, don't put on the four-corner beged, and therefore you're going to just get out of any tzitzis issue. But Chazal didn't say that. Chazal said you could wear the beged. Chazal never prohibited wearing a four-corner linen beged. The first in the Gemara, you're allowed to wear a four-corner linen beged, but there's a takonis lechamim not to put tzitzis on the beged. So the Gemara Maseches Yevamos raises the question, how can you do that? If the Torah says that you have to put on tzitzis, what right did Chazal have to tell you not to put on tzitzis? Do Chazal have the ability to uproot a mitzvah in the Torah? The Torah says, put on tzitzis, and I'm not going to put on tzitzis. The Chacham are going to tell me not to put on tzitzis. What right does the Chacham have to tell me to, in a sense, violate an Aveira? So the Gemara lumps this together with other examples. Chazal would master laka dov min haTorah b'sheva al ta'aseh. The Gemara says that although Chazal do not have the ability to tell me to actively violate an Aveira, let's say the greatest base in the world is going to get together and say, we think it's in the best interest of Klai, so everyone should drive to Shul on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to listen to them. That's not a correct psak. That the Bezin cannot override something that it says in the Chumash. Torah says, you're not allowed to light a fire on Shabbos. Turning on a car is the equivalent, driving a car is the equivalent of lighting a fire. The Bezin says, we have a great reason to believe that you should be driving to Shul on Shabbos. It's botlam of botlam. You're not allowed to listen to them. Well, the Bezin says, we think it's the greatest interest of Shemiras HaMitzvahs, everyone should be eating Chazir. So you're not allowed to listen to them. But what Bezin can do is, they can tell you, we think it's in the best interest of Klal Yisrael not to blow shofar today. Or we think it's in the best interest in Klal Yisrael not to shake a lulav today. Or not to put on tefillin today. That they have the koach to do, because those are all examples of sheva al ta'aseh. They're passively telling you not to perform a mitzvah. Not only could they do that, but they did do that. Shofar, they did it every couple of years when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. So Min HaTorah is supposed to blow shofar. And Min HaRabbanim, they said not to, because Yesh Koch V'Yad Chamim Lakod of Min HaTorah B'Sheiv HaTaseh. But the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, so Min HaTorah is supposed to shake a lulav. Min HaRabbanim, Yesh Koch V'Yad Chamim Lakod of Min HaTorah B'Sheiv HaTaseh. And Yom Tov Sheni, Min HaTorah is supposed to wear tefillin, but the Rabbanim, they said not to, Yesh Koch V'Yad Chamim Lakod of Min HaTorah B'Sheiv HaTaseh. So we know that they use this mechanism in halacha in several different examples. The problem is that the Gemara says that tzitzis is another example of yesh koch b'yad chacham lakadov min haTorah b'sheva al ta'aseh. Min haTorah, you're supposed to put tzitzis on the beged, and min derabbanan, they told you, no, it's okay, you don't have to put tzitzis on the beged. So the Gemara lumps it together with the shofar, with the lulav, the Rishonim add on the till, and a few other examples the Gemara gives. So come to Rishonim and say, wait a second, this is not the same. This is a far cry from not blowing shofar. When it comes to not blowing shofar, I'm not mishnah doing anything. I'm davening on Rosh Hashanah, I'm finished Kriyas HaTorah, the rabbi gets up and speaks, we're about to say Lama Tzechem Ekerach Mizmor, and then there's a big thing in the Machzor that says, on the Sabbath we omit the blowing of the shofar. So I omit the blowing of the shofar, so I turn the page, I go on to Tiftinim, put away Sefer Torah, the next thing, finish it. I didn't do anything. Comes time to shake the lulav, first day of Sukkot, I'm about to shake the lulav, oh, it's Shabbos. No, I don't shake the lulav, I go say Halal Asim. Those are Shevi Al-Tasa. Here, what the Chacham telling you you're permitted to do is take a four-cornered beged, get dressed in the morning, and put it on. That's not a Shevi Al-Tasa. That's a Kumbase. They're telling you to actively do something, and that's a problem. So what right do they have to do that? If they actively tell you to drive on Shabbos, they can't do that. They actively tell you to eat chazal with shatnas, they can't do that. So what right do they have to actively permit you to put a beged on? Shalek Yalocha. So that we already was Taisa's cash. So Taisa says that, you know, if you know a little bit of a nuance about the mitzvah of tzitzis, Taisa, you'll understand why that's not called kumbase, that's called sheva tasa. Taisa raises a very, very lumdish shayla. It's so lumdish, you can always miss it in the process. Taisa says, at what point does the mitzvah of tzitzis kick in? Says Taisus, a person is putting on a four-cornered beged. So do we say that as he's putting on the beged, he becomes chayiv in the midst of tzitzis? Or do we say no? The putting on the beged is not the mechayiv of the midst of tzitzis. It's the wearing. Once the beged is already being worn, I told you it's a very fine line, once the beged is already on, then half a second later, that's when the midst of tzitzis begins. So the act of putting on the beged, in theory, if you can figure this out, if you put the beged on, take it off right away, in theory, says Taisus, you never really became obligated in tzitzis. So Taisus says that they think that the midst of tzitzis kicks in after the beged is already on. The putting on of the beged is not the mitzvah. Once the beged's on, and now, oh, I have the beged on, ooh, and now from here on in, I have tzitzis on my beged, that's when the mitzvah kicks in. The Taisus says, why is that important? So the Taisus says, because that's the formulation of the mitzvah tzitzis, that it's post the wearing, but it's not the levish itself. I can begin to understand why it's considered to be sheva al taaseh. Because what did Chazal tell you you're allowed to do? Chazal said, put on a beged. Okay. And what's so terrible about putting on a beged? There's no isser about putting on a four-cornered beged. There's no chiv of tzitzis when I put on the four-cornered beged. Once the beged is already on me, I'm already dressed, now the clock begins to tick. Now I become chayv in the midst of tzitzis. At that point, it's not a shev al taseh. So lu yitzuyus is taisus that the levishas a beged would have been the mechayv of tzitzis, that Chazal would not have had the ability to tell you to put on a four-cornered baguette of linen without putting on tzitzis. It's only because it is razzle-dazzle lumdus that the mitzvah tzitzis only begins a split second later, that's why it's considered to be shev al taseh. So the Acharim of Ba'arav in this time, if that's the case, then we make the bracha on tzitzis at the wrong time. We make the bracha on tzitzis, we're holding the talus. A second before we put it on, we make the bracha. A bracha is always supposed to be over lasiyasin, right before the last split second before they do the mitzvah. It's like when you make alachilas matzah. So you don't make alachilas matzah and then start to patchka around and try to go find the matzah and the box. You make it, you're about to put, you're holding the matzah in your hand, you're about to put it into your mouth, you make a bracha alachilas matzah. You're holding the tefillin, you don't make a bracha on tefillin when the tefillin are in the bag. They're on your arm, your arm's in place, you're holding the strap, about to, that second, you make l'aniach tefillin. So come the Chavarim and say, according to Taisus, what are you making a bracha when you're holding the talus and about to wrap it around? You should put the talus on first, and then you should make the bracha. Isn't that considered to be a little bit too early? Again, so if we get to the bracha of tzitzis, we'll figure out why that should or should not be correct. So others suggest, I suggest that you don't need this whole razzle-dazzle Taisus. You don't know this whole Shukul Torah of Taisus, that the mitzvah of tzitzis is a time delay. It's not really when you put it on, it's really later. Says the Sheikh Asari, tzitzis by definition is called shev al taaseh for a much different reason, for a lomdish reason. This is a throwback to what we spoke about last week. We mentioned last week that the Mordechai, Maseches Menachos, writes, let's say a person finds themselves in a situation where they don't have any strings. They're on a desert island somewhere, there are no strings. And they want to put on a four-cornered beged. So the Mordechai says, put on the four-cornered beged. There's nothing osur. The Torah doesn't say, lo silbash beged shal dal konfus bli tzitzis. There's no such issur in the Torah. The mitzvah of tzitzis is such that if and when you're wearing a four-cornered beged, you become a chuyuv in the mitzvah say deraisa of putting on tzitzis. If the Torah would have said, it's osur to wear a four-cornered beged without tzitzis, then I can't do an issur. I'm on a desert island, there's no strength. Nobody told you to put on the beged. But since the nature of the mitzvah tzitzis is b'toras mitzvah saseh, it's if and when you're in a situation of being chayv in tzitzis, then you have to put on tzitzis. I have no choice. What do you want? There's nowhere. I don't have any strings. I'd love to put on tzitzis, but I don't have any strings. So the Mordechai writes, there's nothing also about wearing the beged in the first place. We gave the mashal, remember last week, about the guy who doesn't have a sukkah. The guy's an anus mamish in the middle of nowhere. There's no sukkah. So you tell him he's not allowed to eat. It's also to eat. So we said, Pasha's not. That if he's in a situation where it's mamish intai's in a desert island, so it's impossible to have a sukkah, so maybe one could argue that I'd love to eat in the sukkah, but I can't. On a sukkah with a patrick. The Torah doesn't say it's also to eat outside of the sukkah. The Torah says, if and when you want to eat food, you want to do a dira on sukkahs, make sure it gets done in the sukkah. I'd like to do that, but I can't. I don't have a sukkah. So says the Sheikh Asari, since the whole nature of the mitzvah of tzitzis is a mitzvah's essay, it's not a los essay, it by definition is called the Yesh Koch Be'al-Kham Lakadom Natar B'Sheiv Al-Taseh. Sheiv Al-Taseh just means that there's no isser involved, there's no lav involved. Tzitzis doesn't involve an aveir, there's no prohibition of wearing a four-cornered beged. It's merely, relatively speaking, it's merely a bitl ha-mitzvah. A bitl ha-mitzvah is always, by definition, considered to be a sheiv al-taseh. So no matter how you slice it, the bottom line is the Gemara says that Chazal did have the ability to tell you not to wear tzitzis, and they actually invoked that halacha in the case of the linen beged. And we assume that if you're wearing a four-cornered linen beged, you should not put strings on at all, neither white nor blue. We assume, against the minhag in Spain, we assume that applies even out of Yom HaZeh. That's the way we practice today. So, although it would have been a nice, comfortable option of wearing linen begadim, lamaisa doesn't exist. That's off the charts in terms of a kind of a beggar. So we're back to where we were at the end of the show last week. What materials are available for us? So we said wool is the lechatchila, because that, for sure, that's a mitzvah deraisa lecholadeus. We said other kinds of materials are, according to the Psach of the Ramad deraisa, but again, not everyone agrees. The Shulchan Aruch, the Rif, and the Rambam didn't accept that. So according to those we showed him, it would probably be better for a person to insist on wearing wool. But again, those who are wearing cotton are relying on the opinion of Rashi, Taisus, and the Ramad, the Ikar Adin, for the Ashkenazim, for sure, that other materials are also chayv in the Torah.
Okay.
Cotton and wool. What's the another one? Cotton.
Linen. So linen. Everybody would agree that you should not wear a linen beged.
You should not wear a linen beged because midrabban, we're afraid you may come to put on tchilas, right? Right. So it would have been a great idea to have linen begadim, but Lamai said midrabban not allowed. What about other kinds of materials? what would the halacha be about synthetic materials? Would that be, should that be any different from the cotton and the silk that the Gemara speaks about? So this was a big machlokes of poskim. So Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that he thinks that even according to those who say that cotton and silk are chayim in the Torah, and even according to those who say at least it's chayim in the Rabbanan, so comes with Moshe and says he thinks that polyester and those kinds of materials are not chayim at all. They're not chayim in the Torah, they're not chayim in the Rabbanan. The mamish potel legamrei. Why should that be any different? So Rav Moshe says it's based on a Gemara that appears in Maseches Menachos. The Gemara speaks about a beged of ore, of leather. If you have a sheet of leather, four-cornered sheet of leather, so the Gemara says there's no mitzvah of tzitzis at all. Not minatar, not midraban, that's garnish. That's a nothing. That's not considered to be a beged altogether. So Rav Moshe says, why is that not considered to be a beged? He says, because a beged in halacha means that you take strings and you weave the strings together. If you'd ask me how to do this, I couldn't tell you. All I know is that my kids are very excited that the Malach of Oreg has now come back to life with these little Meshagas, what are they called? What are they called? The rubber bands everyone's walking around wearing now. So I've gotten about 20 shahs in the last week about whether you're allowed to make that in Shabbos. And the answer is it's also in the Torah. I think it's Mamash at Deraisa. It's Oreg. It's Mamash like a loom. So everyone's all excited about no, right? Yeah, so I think it is. So it's Mamash, I think it's also in the Torah. So Moshe writes that I see Exhibit A. Okay, so you're a proud grandfather. I see. I wasn't chayshed that you were making them themselves. I understand. my kids are still waiting for it. I'm going to start wearing them. I said it's going to be a long time. It's going to be a cold day when that happens. Okay. Well, grandchildren, maybe. Okay, hello. Anyway, the grandchildren come. We'll negotiate it if that's still around. Anyway, so come to Moshe and says so. A beged by definition means you take strings and you weave them and you make them, you sew them. That's called a beged. A leather, a strip of leather, just throw the strip of leather on top of you. That's not considered to be a beged. So Moshe is a tremendous chiddush. Moshe says that when they make polyester begodim, so how do they produce polyester? So I'm not too much. I don't know too much about polyester production, but they make these big sheets of polyester, and then apparently they cut it into strands, and then they remake them, they reweave them together into a beged. So Moshe thought, from the fact that originally it has that leather look to it, it's got that long piece, rather than made up of a lot of different threads, so he thought, maybe that's not considered to be a beged halacha. So others responded, that's not exactly the same. Other posts responded to Moshe, but leather is never recut again. Leather is never made into a beged. Here, at the end of the day, you can't tell what's polyester, what's a beged. At the end of the day, it was made out of threads. The fact that at one time it looked like leather, why should that make a difference? That was the big machlekes. So there are many posts can rule the opinion that polyester is also chayav. Any of these synthetic materials are also chayav in tzitzis, either midrash or midrabbanan, depending on what you hold about cotton and silk. And Rav Moshe had a chiddush that these things are part of the garment. According to Rav Moshe, the Maase shouldn't wear them. So there are certain begadim that are produced today that are made out of mixtures, made out of partial cotton, partial polyester. So the poskim say that you would follow probably rov, whatever rov the material is. A lot of the polyester begadim are still 55% cotton. So that way, at least according to Rav Moshe, that would probably be acceptable. So again, so there are different opinions about these kinds of begadim. Then there's a further shaila about certain kinds of begadim that may not be begadim altogether. They call them, they still call them the fishnet tzitzis. That's still called? Okay, so the fishnet tzitzis. So I know that they sell them. I know they're very popular, especially in Eretz Yisrael. They're very popular. But for kids, they're very popular. But some folks came out serious reservations about them, that they may not really have the tzur of a beged altogether. I'm not sure exactly how they're made either. But they don't have that general look of strings which are woven with one another. So some raised questions about that as well. So I have a pshara with my youngest son, with Avim Zev, is that for years he's been hakim, he wants to get the fishnet tzitzis. So I told him that he can wear the fishnet tzitzis when he's playing ball. That was the pshara. Because mikra din, you don't have to wear tzitzis when he's playing ball. Anyway, problem for other reasons. So I said, okay, we'll get the fishnet tzitzis when he's playing ball. Somehow playing ball has become a very, very... He thinks that means every time he picks up a ball, which is basically 24-7. So we try to explain to him that's not exactly what the original psalm was meant. So we're still working on the details right now. But the kofanim, probably for those over the age of bat mitzvah, probably not the best investment. my better investment is either the wool or 100% cotton or at least the 55% cotton, probably the better way to go in terms of tzitzis. Moving on in terms of the details of what constitutes a baget to be chayv in tzitzis, so last week we spoke about the fact that we pass a mikra, then the baget doesn't require a tifa. Even a baget that's worn around the body would be chayv, but one condition is absolutely necessary, that's a pasuk chumash, has to be dalek kanfas. Al arba kanfas ksus chashet chasaba. If it's not a four-cornered baget, then for sure it's not going to be chayv in tzitzis. When we say it's not a four-cornered baget, what that means is, according to most opinions in the Rishonim, that means it has to be a minimum of four corners. What if it has five corners, 10 corners, 100 corners? So it's a machlokes hatanoim, and most of the Rishonim pass it, so we pass it still chayv in tzitzis. Doesn't mean you have to put on all the corners. You only have to put on 4 out of the 10 corners, but if it has more than 4 corners, it's still chayv. But if it has less than 4 corners, then for sure it's a fair shapasik and chumash. So the Gemara says you have to sometimes be careful. You may think that you don't have 4 corners, but believe it or not, you may have. So sometimes, and we'll talk about this later on, sometimes you have situations where you have a beged, and you don't really want to put tzitz on this beged, so you'd rather round off the corner of the beged. So the Gemara says you have to be very careful. When you round off a corner, it's got to really, really look round. If you adjust, cut it a little bit, so it's just not such a sharp, it's not a 100% 90 degree sharp corner, that's still considered to be a corner. It's got to really, really have that image of being round, that's not a corner. Otherwise, it would be chayv. You have to look at the back of people's kapatas. A lot of the kapatas have that they round off the back of the corner. You have to be careful that the rounding off is done properly. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim, how exactly do you cheshbon out whether you have a corner? Sometimes you have like a flap like in the back of a jacket. So what's considered to be a corner? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, that depends how high up it goes. So if it goes up more than halfway of the beged, that already constitutes a corner. If it's just a little flap in the bottom of the jacket, that's not considered to be a corner. So that's why most of our jackets don't go up that high, except on the kapatas. Some of the kapatas do go up that high. So if you take a look at the back of the kapatas, very often they're rounded off for that reason. We run into a problem with a lot of the kids begadim also, those kids' undershirts begadim. So the kids are wearing these undershirts, and then they just, basically the way they manufacture, make a little slit here, a little way up, and somehow that's considered to be four corners. Again, usually worn by kids, most grown-ups don't wear those. So you should try to, if you can, to get those that go up a little bit higher. The problem is, I think that none of them are good, because I think that they don't really go up. The poskim say it's really supposed to go up halfway to the shoulder, and most of them do not go up that high. So I'm not so convinced that any of them are good for tzitzis. So we try to wean up and zebra for those also. So I guess someone in Eretz Yisrael holds the good, because they're giving they're being produced in Eretz Yisrael and lost. So I guess somebody sanctioned them. I'm not exactly sure who, because it doesn't sound from the Mishnah Berurah that those really go up high enough to be labeled as a beged. I'm not really sure. Do we have them? No? Everyone's got them?
Pretty high.
They do go high? I don't know.
Maybe like 2 inches.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Avram Zev was finding the more comfortable ones. I don't know. I'm not sure. I have to look, check that again. So again, so the beged has to be a four-cornered beged. That's an absolute given. If not that, then there's nothing to discuss. So the Beis Yosef discusses a whole bunch of begadim that were prevalent in Spain in the 1500s. Beis Yosef is addressing in Turkey. Beis Yosef was written. Somebody told me recently they just came back from Eretz Yisrael and they flew Turkish Air, which is becoming a very common way for people to fly these days. You can save a couple $100 and you stop in Istanbul for a couple hours. So my initial reaction was, stop there. My in-laws do it all the time. Instead, you fly with Turks. So he said, "Let me fly with Turks." The whole flight was from. He said, "There wasn't a Turk on the flight." He said, "Everybody was from." So they said they spent the whole day together in the airport in Istanbul. I said, "Istanbul? That's Constantinople. That's where the Beis Yosef lived." I said. So the person said to me, he said that, and it wouldn't have even been so terrible if we wouldn't have made it back to Eretz Yisrael in time for Yom Tov. He said, because everybody had so much food with them that they were taking. They said, we could have made a sukkah there, we could have had mamish kedah sukkah there. He said, since the days of the Beis Yosef, there hasn't been so much food in Istanbul. Anyway, so the Beis Yosef is describing all these wild clothing that was worn that he's looking at. He's sitting in Constantinople, looking at all these people. Constantinople was a big trade center, so I saw a lot of strange outfits there. So it gives you a whole page of the Beis Yosef about this kind of beggar, that kind of beggar, that kind of, I can't figure out what any of these things are. But the basic gist of a lot of these things are is that they looked similar to like our kinds of shirts. They weren't four corners in the sense of like a pair of upper canvas where the four corners were on the bottom. You had two corners over here, and if you think about it, you have two corners over here, and then you have two corners in the front. also. So is that considered to be a beged in order to be chayav in tzitzis? So the Beis Yosef raises the question, why aren't people wearing tzitzis? All the Jews are walking around Constantinople wearing these funny begadim, which have two corners over here and two corners over here, and nobody's wearing tzitzis on them. So he tries to explain why people aren't wearing tzitzis on them. So the Ramah writes, he thinks the reason why people are not wearing tzitzis on these begadim is as follows. The Ramah says that when you wear tzitzis, so the Gemara speaks about you're supposed to have two strings in front of you and two strings in back of you. You should be surrounded by mitzvahs all the time. So that Gemara sounds like it's just telling you the right way to wear the tzitzis should be positioned such and such. The Ramah says, no, it's more within that. The Ramah says that only a beged that's made in that way, where it's two corners in front and two corners behind you, only that's chayav in tzitzis. But if all four corners are in front of you, that's not called avakadfas. Didn't there rice? We should take that in the chumash. It's hard to know. But that's the Ramah's psach. He says that that's where the minhag ha'olam is. That's why Constantinople, no one was wearing tzitzis on these begadim, because they had all four corners sitting in front of them. So you have to have two in front, two in the back. If that's the case, that would defend our shirts, even though our shirts are corner. No, it's a corner. It has to be exactly 90 degree angle. It's a corner. There's a corner. There's a corner. Two on the bottom are also corners. So why aren't we wearing tzitzis? Somewhere relying on this Ramah, that all four corners are in front of us. That's not the tzuris of egg. That's not considered to be chayiv in tzitzis. In the middle of this discussion that the Beis Yosef has about different begadim that are chayiv in tzitzis and potter from tzitzis, and the Beis Yosef raises other questions. He raises the question, how come people are wearing turbans and they're not having tzitzis on the turbans? Like the picture of the Beis Yosef, famous picture, it was a made-up picture of the Beis Yosef wearing a turban. So he says, if you think about it, a turban is a four-cornered beged. You take this big cloth, it's got four corners on it, and you wrap it around your head. So why aren't you chayiv in tzitzis for that? And then the Beis Yosef says, and people are wearing, he describes, scarves. How come people aren't wearing tzitzis on the scarves also? So comes the Beis Yosef and says, he thinks the answer to all that is based, that he quotes a sifrei, that the sifrei says, that it has to be kanfas ksuscha shetachasaba. It's got to be something that's basically worn around your body. Now, we spoke about last week, some Rishonim said it's got to be body and head, but says the Beis Yosef, if it's only the head, it's potter. If it's only the neck, then it's potter. A beged means something that's basically covering your body. If it's just covering your head, then that's not chayiv in tzitzis. It's just covering your neck, that's not chayiv in tzitzis. That's limud chus, but we don't have tzitzis on our scarves, we don't have tzitzis on our turbans. Anything that's just in the head, neck area is not considered to be a beged for the purposes of tzitzis, notwithstanding the fact that it has four corners on it. It's for this reason that the poskim write that when a person wears a talus, they should wear the talus around their body. They shouldn't wear one of these little two-by-nothing taluses that you just wrap around your neck and your scarf. It's not really chayiv in tzitzis. That's mamash like a scarf. This is the source for those who in the snagdish world who were against the ataros on the talisim. So one of the reasons that the poskim write, again, it's not. Usually don't assume this halacha, but there were some who were opposed to the atara on the talus, because they said as follows: if you put in a fancy schmancy atara for the silver on the talus, so what you're showing is that it's really, that's the main part of the beged. You don't really care about the rest of the beged. You really care about, my father-in-law gave me this nice atara, so this is the main part of the beged. So it's a chashash, it's like wearing a scarf. And if you're wearing a scarf, you're putter from tzitzis. But the other poskim said, what is he said, you're wearing a beged all around your body, and you happen to have a nice piece of silver on your neck part. Why is that making it into a scarf? That's butter and sitters. That's what we usually assume. But there were some who raised a question, raised an eyebrow about the ataras based on that. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think there are Hashulchan was a Rambam Staget from the Vardak. He didn't like the minhag of wearing the ataras on the talus. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he writes. He says he's still trying to figure out my inyan kesef etz talus. He's still trying to figure out where it came from. He said, well, what are they trying to accomplish? So wearing an atara. So the answer is hit the mitzvah. That's what the goal was. It beautifies the mitzvah. So again, yesh v'yesh. So in the chassidish community, so people were wearing ataras, and in the litvish community, they weren't wearing ataras. Then the litvaks became chassidim. Chassidim became crossed over a little bit. So some people do have an atara, some people don't have an atara, but again, there were some who raised a potential halachic issue with an atara, but again, this was generally not assumed to be correct, la halacha. Again, so we have a few different things we have to be aware of when we're talking about what kind of a beged qualifies for the mitzvah tzitzis. There's one last issue that Tosfos raises as a question in terms of defining a beged for the purpose of tzitzis. Tosfos raises the question, what if you would have a beged that it's not really accomplishing anything. It's not really keeping you warm. It's not really absorbing sweat. The normal things that a begadim are usually associated with is it's either keeping you warm or it's protecting your body, absorbing sweat, doing something constructive. What if you just throw in a begad on? It's not really doing anything. So with such a begad, consider it to be a begad in halacha. Why would anybody think, not? I'm wearing it, chasava, tilbash, why is that called a begad? So in the realm of shatnez, there is such a halacha. In the realm of shatnez, if a person is wearing a begad, and the beged is not really serving a normal function of a beged, so it's not considered to be a levisha shatnez. So we rely on that actually. There are more quotes in the Hilchos Shatnez that meikra din, you're allowed to try on clothing even though they may have shatnez in them. I'm not talking, go to the store, you want to try the suit, see whether it fits you. Maybe it's shatnez, maybe no. So the Ramah writes, it's mutter. Why? Because if I would take the suit and put it on and walk around and go outside and keep me warm, that's called wearing shatnez. But I'm not putting it on for the purpose of levish. I'm putting it on just the medid, just to check to see whether it fits me. So the Ramah quotes that's perhaps not considered to be levish as a beged, and therefore even on Matzah that there is shatnez in it, there wouldn't be anything to be concerned with. So that's how we generally assume la halacha like that. That's what some poskim in Hilchos Purim they talk about this. If a person wants to wear a costume and the costume has shatnez in it, is that considered to be a problem? So there are more quotes that there was someone who used to be mekel at least to wear shatnez derabanan. If it wasn't a real bona fide shatnez derais, the technicalities, so there were some who used to wear shatnez derabanan in Purim costumes. So that was also part of the same story, that I'm wearing it as a costume, I'm not wearing it as a beged. So the question is whether that idea carries over to Chatzitus or not. So Tosfos quotes that today is whether that idea in Hilchos Shatnez has any relevance in terms of Chatzitus. Should we say if it's not called a beged for the purpose of Shatnez, then it's not called a beged for the purpose of Chatzitus? Then would Chapin Afkamin also say, I want to try on a four-cornered beged and there are no strings on it, would that be okay? So there it's usually mutter anyway because the beged doesn't belong to me. It still belongs to the store, so hopefully we'll talk about that next week, if the beged doesn't belong to me yet. But we usually assume that halacha shatnez probably doesn't carry over to tzitzis. If it would carry over to tzitzis, then some of the chachamim raise a question: Imkain, how do we ever perform the mitzvah of tzitzis? Very often, a guy puts on a talis and shul. The talis is keeping him warm. Depends how cold it. That's a new chum. We have to keep the air conditioning on higher now to make sure people's talis is really keeping them warm. So some chachamim say, if you hold like that day in tzitzis, that only a beged that keeps you warm is chayev. How do we ever perform the mitzvah of tzitzis? What's shaykh to perform tzitzis? In the olden days, they mamish wore begad. This is part of their regular wardrobe. As matter as that, we're superimposing, putting on an artificial beged to be yaitzeh the mitzvah, but it's not really doing anything. So we usually assume that equation from tzitzis doesn't, tzitzis to shatnez doesn't carry over. Shatnez is different. You need a hanol, shalvisha shal hanol, chimum, etc. In tzitzis, we assume if you're wearing a four-cornered beged, whatever material it's made of, it's shaped appropriately, made appropriately, whatever the case may be, meets the criteria to be chayv and tzitzis, tzolzayin, so it's going to be chayv and tzitzis. That's what we generally assume. So again, so we have a little bit more to do just in terms of technicality, what kind of a beged is chayv. Next week, we'll try to finish up the beged part of the tzitzis, and then if and when we finish up the beged part, then we'll try to move on to the chutim themselves, to the strings, which of course become the major part of the chetzis shabbat tzitzis.